Glenn Klein on WRJN, and on today's Community Conversation, we are speaking with State Senator Van Wongard. All right, Senator Wongard, Beatles or Rolling Stones?
I guess I'd have to choose the Beatles. That's more my my era, and you can actually understand what they were saying.
Well, you know, the Rolling Stones were your era as well, sir. Rolling Stones, more liberal, more democratic, perhaps. Beatles, more conservative, more Republican. Maybe that's where you're going.
Okay. I don't think so, but yeah, okay.
It's a stretch. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You are funny. I that's why I enjoy calling into your show. I want to hold your
hand. I want to hold your hand. Which government official will he crack up next? Glenn Klein, middays on WRJN.
State Senator Van Wongard rejoins the community conversation, and this goes out as a special dedication to Senator Wongard. He's coming up next on Your Radio Friend. John, Paul, George, Ringo, and Glenn on your radio, friend. It's 16 minutes after 9 o'clock on your hump day morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is the state senator from the mighty 21st District. Please welcome back to WRJN, Senator Van Wongard. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. First question of the day.
Yes, sir.
Where did you dig that song up at?
It's called a computer, sir.
Ah, okay, because I was wondering if you stay up all night thinking about what song you're going to play for me.
Well, I do stay up all night wondering, but then I have to find it on the vast WRJN library. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing awesome. It's it was an interesting week. I actually got out of town for a couple days to go up north and relax, and it rained for 3 days straight.
Where'd you go?
Up around Toronto, and that's all it did was rain. It rained and rained and rained and rained and rained.
I am going north today to Eagle River. I used to own a summer camp, my boyhood summer camp, Camp Menominee. I bought right out of college when I graduated from Madison. And 29 years ago, I started a fantasy camp for alumni. And this is the 29th.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the 29th annual Camp Menominee Fantasy Camp starting today. My sons, Joseph, Jacob, and Judah, the J-team I call them, and my son-in-law, Angel, are in town. And so we had dinner last night, and we are driving up north up there, eh?
So do you do that every year then?
It's an annual event, yeah. But I've never been to fantasy camp with all my sons, so I'm pretty
pumped. That's really cool.
I'm pretty pumped.
That is cool.
I'm pretty pumped.
We call that, our annual roughing it.
Yeah, well.
Roughing it, where we go up and rough it for the weekend, and, you know, we cut up some firewood for the fire, outdoor fireplace, you know, and, you know, play a little cribbage and do a little fishing.
Camp Menominee is not a roughing it camp. It's a very nice camp for kids from, like, the North Shore of Chicago and the suburbs of Milwaukee. And to us, roughing it is no room service. That's roughing it.
Oh, this is really roughing it. We go up and actually rough it. We, you know, we're in a trailer, you know, a travel trailer. You know, that's the weekend we go up and pull the trailer off, actually. And so it's a fun time. It's really a fun time.
He is State Senator Van Wongard from the mighty 21st District. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversations on WRJN. You mentioned Shawano, and the city of Shawano just passed a law. I don't know if you saw this, but if a child is found to be bullying in school and the parents get a warning and the parents don't do anything about it, the parents are levied a fine of about $400. And then if they do it again, the fine gets doubled. What do you think about that?
That's an interesting concept to punish the parent. I don't know. I think that, you know, we have to have accountability. We have to have parents that are responsible for their kids. Absolutely. I don't know if that's the best way to get conformance, though. It sounds like they've had some challenges. If their kid's doing bullying, and they're actually bullying other kids, it would seem to me that there's been a real loss of communication there, you know, throughout the process of this kid growing up. I mean, I never had any problems. I didn't worry about what happened to me at school. It was when I got home. If I misbehaved when I was in school, I was more worried about what my parents would do. And not that there'd be corporal punishment, but just that I would let them down. You know, I think there was more respect maybe back then, at least I had for my parents. But then I had seven other brothers and sisters, too, so it was like going to camp every day.
Where did you fall in line in the birth order?
Number four. So I am the middle. I'm in the middle.
You're a middler.
I'm a middler. I have an older sister, actually two older sisters, an older brother, and then a younger sister and three younger brothers.
Are they all living in Wisconsin?
Right now, all but one. My one sister lives out in Colorado. She's a flight attendant. And so she lives in Colorado, and she commutes back and forth to Chicago. That's her base.
Talk about
a... So she's actually here. I probably see her more now as she's based out of Chicago than I did before.
You talk about accountability. We have a pair of presidential presumptive nominees now that literally, on a national scale, are not being held accountable for their actions, for their words, for their attitudes. On your side of the aisle, on the Republicans, you have Donald Trump, who literally, almost by definition, made a racist comment and has a racist opinion of the judge that is adjudicating his case for Trump University. What are you guys going to do about him?
Well, I think the electorate's going to make the decision. You know, we absolutely can't have Hillary Clinton. Look at her track record. She is not. We don't need eight more years of Barack Obama and worse. That's for sure. I think that I think a lot of times what happens is we get individuals that step out, and this guy's. I think what everybody's looking for in a candidate is somebody's going to stand up and speak frankly. Of course, you know, I totally do not agree with racist remarks if that's the way that he meant them. You know, this is the problem today. We don't think in paragraphs, or we don't think in complete stories anymore. It's all about a soundbite. I mean, it's a Twitter, it's a tweet, 140 characters, and you got to get everything into that. And, you know, as soon as somebody listens to a tweet that they get, and it's just, you know, one little snapshot in time, they think they know everything about the issue, and that's not the case anymore. Where, you know, back in the old days when we had the newspaper, you'd see the tagline at the top, and that would interest you, and then you'd have to read the whole story to find out really what happened and get the whole truth. People today don't look for that anymore. They expect to get it on their smartphone and in 140 characters or less and know everything about what that issue is, or they think they do. And so I think a lot of times we have to be so careful with what we say because it gets twisted and taken out of context, too. So, you know, nothing surprises me today at all with either of these two individuals, actually.
By definition, as I said, what Trump said was racist. He said that, first of all, he called the judge Mexican initially, and the man was born in Indiana. That's number one. But number two, Trump has equated the judge's rulings on his case based on the fact that Trump wants to build a wall, obviously, between Mexico and the United States. The judge is of Mexican heritage. Now, is it plausible, given his background and given some of the legal affiliations that the judge has, is it plausible that He is not very happy with Donald Trump in that position. Sure, it's possible, but a presidential candidate cannot say those kind of things and get away with it. And now we have a Senator Kirk from Illinois. He's just unendorsed Donald Trump. Ron Johnson has talked about the fact that we'll see what's going to happen. He hopes he changes his position. Governor Walker said the same thing recently. The Republicans are in a position now where their presidential nominee may not only lead the presidency down to flaming defeat and we get Hillary Clinton, but the Republicans may end up losing the Senate and the House over it.
Well, you know, that's always a concern, although, you know, I look at it this way. I think that each one of these candidates, and there is some effect for the downward ballots, you know, with when you have an election of this magnitude, it does make a difference, I think, who's at the top of the ticket. But I also believe that you can't take for granted the electorate. They read through a lot of this stuff. And I think if the individual candidate is doing what they're supposed to be doing, if they're out knocking on doors and they're going to events and they're talking to people and they're accessible, I think that's a huge, huge thing for that candidate that can allow them to overcome any issues that come from the top of the ticket. People don't necessarily elect you because they like your governor or they like your president. They elect you because they expect you to represent them and what their beliefs are in their local region. And, you know, I remember when I was running in the recall, I had a lot of the pundits, many of the talk show hosts were saying, oh, this is going to be just an absolutely close race and that, you know, I didn't have a chance. And I did very, very well. I mean, it was up in the 70 percentile that I took when I ran. And it's because I was out talking to people. I did 21,000 doors. You know, and actually chatted with people, and I think that's what people expect. They expect you to get out there and be accessible. And I think that is one of the key elements here, that all of these legislators that are running again, and I'm working with several of them from our area here. Samantha Kirkman down in Kenosha, she is just absolutely awesome on the door. She is out there relentlessly. And she knows everybody's cousin, sister's brother's name, you know, that is in her district because she knows her district. Like Paul Ryan, you know, we've got Sarah Palin saying that she's not endorsing, you know, Paul Ryan. She's going to endorse his opponent. Well, hello, Sarah, you don't live here. You don't have any clue. I mean, you know, when you look at the people that are supporting Paul Ryan, it's because he's accessible. He lives here. You know, and he doesn't make any bones about it. He really does care about what's going on in his district. And you watch him in the town hall. He'll call people up by name. He knows these people because he's lived here. And not about Paul. I've never heard him say I or me. It's always about, well, we're going to do this and we need to do that. And, you know, we need to work together. And I think that's what people are really starving for. But they also want somebody that's going to speak from the heart. And they want somebody who is going to do what they say they're going to do. So I think there's a little bit of this mix going on. That's how I think Obama got in to begin with. You know, they wanted to hear something different and quickly, you know, sound bites. And that's what happened. We got Obama for 8 years. How's that working out for us?
Well,
not that great.
There are some that would argue on both sides, obviously.
Absolutely.
He State Senator Van Wongard. He is the representative of the Senate District number 21 here in Wisconsin. Speaking of Speaker Ryan, there's a very good picture of you and the Speaker on the WRJN Facebook as we speak.
Oh, okay.
And
awesome.
And you talk about being accessible. My friend Lisa, when Paul Ryan was first running for Congress, he came up to Lisa's front porch knocking on doors, like you said, you did 21,000 times. And her kids were playing in the front yard. And he sat down on her front porch. Lisa invited him in for a beer. He came in. He gave her his cell phone number and said, if you ever need anything, call me personally. That's Paul Ryan.
Wow. That is awesome.
You got to take that call?
That is really awesome.
You got to take that call?
Nope.
That's good. 21.
My bride will get that.
21,000 doors you knocked on in your recall election?
Oh, it was over that. Actually, it was more than that. But, you know, we did we did, I think it was almost double that.
Funniest thing that happened when you were going door-to-door on that election trip?
Funniest thing that happened? Well, I could think of some, I don't know how funny they were. You have to let me think about that one for a second. Funniest thing that happened while on the doors. Well, I think, you know, probably, I was down at Kenosha, and we had puppies for Wongard because, you know, I'm a real dog lover. And, you know, these little puppies, I would always try to get a shot with the little puppies because they were always cute. And I stopped at one place, and they had five brand-new little golden doodles. And they were only a few weeks old. So, they were just absolutely adorable. So here I am. Can I get a picture with these little guys? It's just, sure. So I go sit down on the step, and all of a sudden I've got five Labradoodles in my lap. It was hilarious. You know, it was just really hilarious. I guess you had to be there, but, you know, that was probably one of the funniest, because this guy didn't expect that at all, because these are new little puppies, and I guess, you know, to have these little darlings to all of a sudden like somebody like that and just start crawling all over them was kind of unusual, according to this fella anyway. But it was kind of fun. And, of course, they weren't really that clean because they had been, you know, in their little enclosure, you know, and they weren't quite paper trained yet. So that was a fun experience. But
any of them have an accident on you?
Well, there was a little bit, yeah. But, you know, you expect that when you're dealing with little puppies.
And when you're dealing with politicians as well.
That could be, too. But I had a lot of really great experiences with people at the doors that reminisced about things that had happened in the past, arrests that I had made with them or their family members, and still got their support and got signs out in front of their houses. So those were good experiences, and that happened time and time again. So, you know, there were good things.
He is puppy lover and State Senator Van Wongard from the mighty 21st District. Always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next month.
You got it. I'm just getting ready to be off to Madison. We're going to work on some drainage district issues today. So we're going to hopefully solve some of the water problems here in southeastern Wisconsin today. So look forward to seeing everybody at the parades, at the 4th of July parades this year. So have a great summer and talk to you next month.
Thank you, sir.
Jackpots at Pottawatomie during our 25th anniversary celebration. They could happen at any time, any seat, any dollar amount.